Well, good morning, church family. Boy, you are the best looking church group I've seen all day. It's good to see you here this morning. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. We're going to sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Pastor, would you open us in prayer, please?
Almighty God, as we assemble in your house today, Father, we want to give you thanks and praise for all your great goodness to us. Well, thank you especially for the greatest gift that was ever given. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for salvation full and free. Father, we just want to praise you this morning. And we ask that you might continue to be with us in a mighty way. Lord, this nation of ours is in bad shape this morning. And Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus is the answer to all of our problems and troubles. So we just ask that he may hasten his arrival again and his second coming. And we know it's at hand. And Father, what a day it would be if it was today. Thank you for this Lord's day.
Come, Lord.
And Father, I do pray for all that are sick and afflicted. I know much of the world is relishing in the thought of Christmas gifts and stuff, but there are those that, Father, that are in despair and ill health and so forth. So I pray for these this morning. I pray that indeed that there would be joy in this world. And, Father, we just pray for them that that know not Jesus as their Savior. I pray that you'd save souls today, that wherever the gospel preacher taught, that souls would turn to the Lord. And Father, we just trust you for what you're going to do here today. We ask you to anoint the message as it goes forth and save souls even in this place. So, Father, if there's any here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you touch their hearts today. Thank you again for your Christmas story, for our Lord and Savior. And Father, we're looking forward to that day when we'll be with you in glory.
Yes.
So keep us near you. Give us grace sufficient for each hour and each need. And Father, again, I ask you to be with our families, those that are not marching in God's army. Lord, I just ask that you'd open their eyes and open their heart to receive him. Thank you again, Father, for all your great goodness to us and many blessings that you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the privilege we have in here today and the help that we can do it. So all these things we ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated, folks. We'll be in Matthew chapter number 2 today, but beginning at verse 1 in Matthew 2, the Bible says that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We're going to sing We Three Kings. Gage, hold on just a moment, please.
This is for you and the whole church back.
Thank you, Brother Jim.
It's kind of late, but it's up.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, We Three Kings.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain. mountain following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, peals through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to say welcome to everybody this morning, and I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. I know that that you'll be gathered, Lord willing, with your families tomorrow, and I'm thankful that you've come here to worship the Lord together with us today. Now we're going to sing Beautiful Star of Bethlehem.
Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Mm-hmm. over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us. It's not the verse, but... Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Amen. Amen. All right, if you'll stand with me for this last song, please. We're going to sing Little Drummer Boy. Little Drummer Boy. In Matthew chapter number 2 and verse 11, the scripture says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, when we come. Baby Jesus, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, I am a poor boy too, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, that's fit to give our king, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum. Shall I play for you, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, on my drum? Mary nodded, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. I played my drum for him, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. I played my best for him, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum. Then he smiled at me. pom pom. Me and my drum.
Amen. You can be seated, folks. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 2, please. Good morning again, I say to everybody. On this Christmas Eve, Lord's Day morning, what better place for us to be here than to worship our King together? While you're turning there in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 2, I just want to look back for just a moment in our approach to Christmas here in recent weeks. We have looked at the coming of Christ, both his incarnation and the consummation, which is the rapture, and the coronation, which will be when he comes as the reigning king of all the earth. We also looked recently last week at the silence before the sign being the birth of the Lord Jesus. This sign shall be given to you, a child shall be born. And prior to that were 400 years of silence where God was not speaking, but he was certainly moving and preparing things for the coming of the king. And this morning, here in Matthew chapter 2, I'd like for us to take together a look at the journey of the wise men. The journey of the wise men. And as we begin to look at these scriptures together, I want you to consider in your own heart and life today, what is it that is leading you? What is leading you? If you would stand with me, please, if you're able, to honor and respect the Word of God that we hold in our hands and in our hearts today. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he'd gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' And when they'd heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Father, we recognize this morning this great and wonderful privilege that we have of coming into your house today to worship King Jesus. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is King. We know that maybe his throne has not been set up on the earth just yet. But Lord, we've learned recently that prophecy is history pre-written. It's going to happen. And Lord, we long for the coming of our Lord. We long, Father, not just for his coming as King of all the earth, but Lord, we know what precedes that is the rapture of the church. And that's when all of those that trust and believe in him, if we should be living, Lord, here when Jesus comes, we'll be gathered to meet the Lord in the air. And Lord, we look and long for that day. Father, it might be this day. May we be found ready for your coming, Lord. May we be found, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that you alone can forgive sins. May we be found with our sins forgiven, covered in the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, if today be not the day of our rapture, may it be a day of your revelation, Father, that you might reveal yourself to us here and the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures this morning. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come and not only open the book here before us today, Lord, but also enlighten our eyes and our hearts that we might receive these things. Make your word, make this book live to us here today, Lord. We ask it together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated, folks. We looked last year, if any of you remember any of the Christmas messages that we spent about a month going through different people that were involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus last year. We looked at the life of Mary and her involvement in the birth of Christ. We looked at the life of Joseph, and we looked especially at the life of Jesus. There's nobody more important in the Christmas story than Christ. Amen. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. We have looked at shepherds and all sorts of other people. Today, I felt the Lord leading us to look at these wise men that we've read about here in the scriptures. And beginning with these wise men, I want us to see the identity of all these people that are involved here in the verses that we just read. First of all, we have Herod. Herod was the king in Judea at that point in time. He was the king that was appointed by Rome. He was not appointed by God or anything of that nature. He was appointed by Rome. And what I want you to know is that Herod represents failed leadership. This was a man, you might recall in the scriptures that we read, that he said, when you found the young child, come and tell me where he is so that I may worship him also. Friend, that was one of the worst lies that was ever uttered. He didn't want to worship the king. He wanted to kill him. So Herod was a failed leader. Also, we see the scribes and the chief priests. These men might be what we would consider today a pastor, somebody who's in charge of leading other people in their faith. And these men represented false religion. And I don't want to look at that too deeply. We'll look at that in more detail here in just a moment. But they were not seeking the king that day. We also see here in this passage what the scriptures refer to as all Jerusalem, this being the general public. And these people were faintly aware that anything was going on at all. All we know from the scriptures is that when according to them, or regarding them rather, was that when Herod was troubled at the news of this coming king, all Jerusalem was troubled there with him also. Now, as I mentioned, we see the young child who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer, by the way, let's dispel a few misconceptions along the way. Jesus was no longer the babe in the manger when the wise men came. This was very possibly up to a year after the Lord Jesus had been born. And the scriptures does not say that they came and knelt in a manger, but they went into the house where he was with his mother. And there it was that they worshiped him. Jesus is not the failed leader. He is the royal king, the child born that is also the everlasting father, we're told in the book of Isaiah. We see with Jesus his mother. As a matter of fact, Mary is still a young mother, and this, I believe, is a faith-filled woman. Mary believed God and the promises that he had made, and she trusted him, and I believe that's why God chose to use her. We know that God was actively involved in all of these lives, but these wise men, what about them? We know just a little about their lives and their involvement with the Lord, and I hope we can glean a few more things from the scriptures here today. First of all, we see their direction. The scriptures tell us there that wise men came from the east. So we know that they come from the east. Well, the east of what? Well, the book of Matthew was written by Matthew, who is a Jew. And so he's speaking in relation to Israel. Wherever they came from was east of Israel. We believe because of their name, and we'll look at this in more detail here in a moment, but they were likely from Babylon or Persia. They came from the Far East. As a matter of fact, if you look at a map, you will see that Babylon and Persia both are due east of the nation of Israel. And it was there that they came from to seek the king. I'm reminded here this morning, friends, that people in search of God start from all sorts of points and all sorts of places. Amen. My journey to the Lord began a long time ago, and what I recognize is I definitely have a journey that the Lord has led me on to Him, but my journey did not start in the same place that yours did, neither did your journey start in the same place that mine did. But these men, they came from the east. We do know where they came from. What we do not know is how many there were. Oftentimes, we just sang the song, right? We three kings. There could have been three kings. All we know is that there were at least two and that there was more than one because it's used in the plural. But we have no idea. There might have been 37 kings there. We really don't know. People deduce that oftentimes because there were three gifts given. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But we have no idea how many of them there were that came from that direction. What we do understand is their dedication. The Bible says that these were wise men. In the Greek in which it's written, that's the word magi. We get our word magic from it. It's also magos, pronounced in the original. But they were astrologers. In Persia, these men were astrologers. They spent their time dedicated to the study of the stars, especially as it relates to things that they thought were divine. They were scholars. They were considered wise men. As a matter of fact, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was considered a wise man when he was in captivity there in Babylon. If you go back and read the book of Babylon, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar was going to have all of the wise men killed if no one could interpret his dream, and Daniel and his friends were included in that group because they were wise men. Of course, the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel, and they were spared. But they were dedicated to the study of these things. I believe also that their determination can be seen because these men traveled likely more than 800 miles to come and to see the Lord Jesus. They traveled over a dangerous desert. We're not sure how they traveled. They might have rode a camel. I don't know how many miles a day you can make on a camel. I've not gone on any extensive journeys on a camel. But even if they were able to travel 30 miles a day, that meant that they would have spent 27 days making that journey through a difficult desert. What I want you to understand is that they were very determined. As a matter of fact, this journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, the Bible talks about when Ezra the priest, when they traveled from Babylon back to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us it took them 4 months to make the journey. You can read about that in the book of Ezra. And as a matter of fact, Ezra opens by saying, "With the good hand of God upon me." And he gives the dates that they, the first day of the first month, and they got there the first day of the fifth month. 4 months with the good hand of God upon them. So it was a very determined trip that they took. We know also the destination, because they said to us there in the scriptures, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him." Their destination was the Lord Jesus Christ, and their desire was to worship him. Can I ask you here this morning, dear friend, and whatever place or whatever part you are on in your journey right now, is your destination, are you wanting to find the Lord Jesus Christ, and is your desire to worship him when you arrive there? Friends, there are a lot of other reasons that we can come into the presence of the Lord. It's possible that we're here today just because mom and dad brought us. It's possible we're here today because our spouse asked us to come, or we felt obliged of some way that we should come at least on Christmas and maybe again on Easter. And if we've had a really good year, we might give thanks on Thanksgiving to the Lord for what He has done. Let me ask you, why are you here today? Have you come today because you want to come to Jesus and your desire is to worship Him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? And so these men came on this journey, and what we find when they reach Jerusalem is that they begin an inquiry. What's the old saying that they used to say, inquiring minds want to know, right? What they wanted to know was, where is He that is born King of the Jews? They began to ask, where is this King? Where is the Lord Jesus? There were a few things that they did know about Christ. First of all, the Bible says that they knew that He was recently born. It says there in the scriptures, where is He that is born? They knew that they were not looking for an old man. They were not looking for any other person. They were looking for a young child that had been recently born. They also knew that He was Jewish. Because they said here that, where is He that is born King of the Jews? This was not just any child that they're looking for. They're looking for a Jewish child. Also, they knew that this Christ that they were seeking was rightfully king. He was rightfully king. You have to imagine the conversation as they stand there before Herod, who is who? King of Judea. And they ask the king of Judea, where is He that's born King of the Jews? They knew that the Christ child was the rightful king. And so they were seeking Him as such. And not only did they know that, but I believe that they also understood that it was reasonable to go and to witness this child and to worship this king. Amen. The only reasonable outcome of their coming there, their visiting of the Lord Jesus, was to worship Him. And so this inquiry had turned into quite a journey. What they did, those are the things that they did know. What they did not know was where to find Him. They did not know where to find Him, so there was the inquiry, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Now, I want to say that there's, at least for me, there's a certain level of perplexity here. And the reason that I say that to you here this morning, and I'm not talking about at Herod or the public, all Jerusalem, because right, the scripture said when Herod heard of this that he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. I'm not talking about Herod being troubled. I'm not talking about the public being troubled. I'm actually talking about myself being troubled at the fact that Herod asked the chief priest and the scribes, where is he? Where will the child be born? Is what he said. You can see it down there in verse number 4. When he'd gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said to him, there's no evidence of any pause. There's no evidence of any research. They said to him immediately, apparently, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They will come and they will rule my people Israel. Why is that perplexing? Well, the wise men knew who that they were looking for. But they didn't know where to look, right? Now you need to understand that they saw the star in the east, right? That's what originally awakened them. I believe the Holy Spirit of God used that to awaken them. But the star did not follow them or lead them in the entire journey. They got to Jerusalem, and when they got there, they didn't know where he was. The wise men knew who, but they didn't know where. The chief priest and the scribes knew where, but apparently they could care less who. Because here they are, these wise men have traveled 800 miles to see the one who was born King of the Jews. And these priests and scribes were 6 miles from Bethlehem. And they couldn't make a 6-mile journey to go see the King, the promised Messiah. So, the wise men cared but didn't know. The priests knew but didn't care. And friends, what we call that is apathy. Apathy. When you know about something and you don't care about that thing, you are living in apathy or have become apathetic. And as a matter of fact, I believe the Bible says that in the last days, people will be apathetic. There are many who are not worshiping the Lord this morning. Why? They could care less. They could care less if the world is proclaiming that a king was born many years ago and that the reason that that king was born was actually to come and to die for their sins. I believe with all of my heart that we have people come and sit in our church pews that know and they hear and still sometimes do not care. Friends, that is a dangerous thing to have a cold and hardened heart that is apathetic towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this inquiry led to discovery. And first of all, what the wise men discovered was that they were wrong. They discovered that they were at the wrong place, although looking for the right person. They had seen the star in the east. They had come to Jerusalem only to find that the Christ child was not there. He was in Bethlehem. And how exactly was it that they came to Jerusalem? As I've mentioned the star already. And I really want you to get this point, because the star, I believe the star is a picture of when we start our journey, the Lord gives us enough light to start our journey. And I believe also that the Lord will give us light to help finish our journey. But you know how we travel between those two points? Not by the star, but by the scriptures. The scriptures. It was actually the scriptures that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. The star was not leading them all the way. Although the Bible does say that it was his star, as supernatural as it was, that star was not meant to be enough. They actually needed the scriptures to complete their journey to Jesus. And friend, if you're going to come to the Father, you're going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. But that same Jesus also said, the scriptures, they it are that speak of me. I don't believe that anybody can come to the to salvation in Christ except they come through the scriptures. They hear. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And so if you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's because you've heard and believed the scriptures. You've believed the word of God. And friend, if you are not saved today, it's because you've heard but not believe the word of God. We need the scriptures to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what scriptures might have been that they had followed? Well, I proposed to you this morning that these men came from the land where Daniel spent time. And I want you to know that Daniel spoke of the Messiah there. And as a matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 2, there's a promise given to us there in that book of the king and the kingdom that would come and that there would be no end. Daniel spoke of this Messiah. He spoke of it as a stone that was cut without hands. Did you know that the majority of the book of Daniel was written in Chaldean, the language of the Babylonians and the Persians? Why is that? Well, I believe God meant for them to know what Daniel was saying, don't you? And so they had Daniel chapter 2 that gave the promise. They also had Daniel chapter 9 that gave the point. We can't spend a lot of time here today, but the Lord prophesied through Daniel that there'd be 483 years between the time that the decree went forth to rebuild the temple and the coming of Messiah, the Prince. That's the Lord Jesus. So they not only had the promise that he was coming, but they knew the point when he was coming. They knew about the time that Jesus would be there. And so what were they doing? They were looking for him. The Bible says that unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for Jesus today? And these wise men came to Jerusalem, but they could go no further without the scriptures.
They could go no further without the scriptures. As a matter of fact, when they got there, they asked, where is he that's to be born king of the Jews? Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes, and what'd they tell them? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He'll be born in Bethlehem. They needed the scriptures in order to lead them to Christ. And friend, we can come near to the Lord Jesus, but we cannot come all the way to him unless we come through the scriptures. Amen. I believe with all my heart that if you will come, if you allow the scriptures to lead you, that they will lead you to Christ.
Amen.
Listen, we talk often about reading your Bible. This is not some Christian to-do list. It's not a checklist. It's not a way of salvation. You're not going to be saved just by picking up a Bible alone. But what you can be saved by is the truth that's found in this book, if you believe it and receive it as truth. Friend, you need to open this book and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to open this book and understand what he has done for you and what he has done for me. It's the scriptures that lead us to Jesus. God gave them light to begin and to end their journey, but it was the word of God that led them to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God. My prayer today is that it's okay if the star shines in your eye for just a minute, but I would rather the scriptures burn in your hearts. Amen? And so they discovered that they were wrong. They discovered that Jesus was right. If you look later there in the passage, Jesus was the right one for them to worship, because it says that when they came into the house, they saw the young child, I'm in verse 11, with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. We see their humility there in that place as they bowed down. They fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ, not only their humility, but also their homage as they worshiped and they bowed down before him. Friend, we cannot come to the Lord Jesus if we're not willing to bow before him. And I'd like to encourage you that you would at least know this truth today, that the Bible says that every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God that you will bow and you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. What I don't know today is, will you do it in this life, whereby having done it here, you receive salvation through Christ? Or will you do it after you've perished from this life and on your way to eternal condemnation? You will bow. Friend, I beg and plead with you to bow here. Bow your, not just your head, not just your knee, bow your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said to all those that come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. We need to understand today that the wise men did not come to play with the Lord Jesus. They didn't come to cuddle him. They didn't come to tickle him. They came to bow before him. Amen. And it's good for us not to play with the Lord Jesus Christ also. Rutherford said a long time ago, walk humbly, walk softly down with the topsail, stoop, stoop, stoop. It is a low entry to go in at heaven's gate. Do you get that? Stoop, stoop, stoop. It's a low entry to go in at heaven's gate. Friend, that means that there's not a one of us will stand up in our great pride and our puffed up chest and walk through heaven's door. I believe, and maybe that's one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus came not as a reigning king, but he came as a lowly child there in the manger. I don't know about you, but you can't look a child in the face unless you kneel down and bow down before them, right? Are you bowing before Jesus? Have you come to see this thing that God has done? And are you willing to bow your head and your heart before him here today and acknowledge him as Christ the Lord? There's no room for pride in heaven. There's no room for any of those things. There's only room for those that will come humbly before the Lord and acknowledge him as King. The entry is low. at heaven's gate. We are told also, we see their hearts, because it says that after they fell down and they worshiped him, that when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I want you to understand, first of all, that this was not incidental worship. This was intentional worship. How do I know that? Well, they came 800 miles to do it, and they brought their worship with them. I don't think that they stopped at the gift shop outside the manger there in Bethlehem and picked up a couple things to take into the new Christ child. Some of us have been guilty of that, right? We went to see a new baby at the hospital and we realized we didn't have a gift, and we're walking around the little hospital store there looking for something to take with us. But these men brought their treasures with him. They had full intention on worshiping this king. If he truly was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they had full intentions on worshiping him and giving their gifts to him when they arrived. In the gifts, we need to understand a few symbolic things. That, first of all, they were gifts of provision. These things were valuable. The gold and even the frankincense and the myrrh were very valuable. I believe that God probably used these things to sustain Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus when he was a young child. We need to understand also that these were gifts of praise, that this was a way that they were honoring him. They were glorifying him as Lord and as King. And thirdly, that these were gifts of prophecy. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, dear friend, each of these gifts symbolized something in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gold was symbolic of a king, a gift that would be given to a king. The frankincense was a something that was used in incense and in the offering of prayers. This symbolized his priesthood. And then the myrrh was a spice that was used to for bodies when it was used to embalm people and to anoint bodies. When they had died, this was a gift for a Savior that would come and suffer and die for you and for me. So they discovered that they were in the wrong place, but looking for the right person. They discovered that Jesus was that right person, dear friend. And then we see in verse 12 that they discovered that they must depart a different way than they came. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The scripture says that they came one way and they left another way. Amen. I tell you what, that ought to be enough for everybody to stand up and say hallelujah. That I came to Jesus one way and I left another way. Amen. That I left him different than I found him. And it's not, let's just take the word I out of it, because I didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus did it. Amen. But friend, I want to encourage you today that the mark of true salvation is that you are different. You can't come to Jesus and be saved and leave the same way that you came. That's the definition of salvation, is to be separated. I believe the term that was used this morning was a sinner being separated from his sins. Praise God. You can't come to Jesus and be saved. Now, you can come to Jesus and leave the same way that you came, but you can't come and be saved and leave the same way that you came. Amen. When we come to the Lord Jesus, we ought to leave a different way. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And friends, if these wise men departed differently, I believe that we should also, not because Herod said so, but because God said so. Amen? And so when the word brings us to Christ the Lord, we find, I believe, that he is worthy of our worship. That he is worthy of our praise, and that he is worthy of our greatest devotion to him. Amen. Why do we follow Christ? Why do we live our lives devoted to him? Because he's worthy of those things. He's worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And so as we look at the lives of these wise men, and we understand how their journey came, friends, let me ask you, we see what they've discovered. What have you discovered on your journey? Are you a wise man or a wise woman that's on a journey seeking to witness and to worship the true King? I mean, it's a simple question. Are you on that journey today, dear friend? You know, some, like the shepherds, see an angel and they go a short distance saying, let's go see this thing that God has done. But really, for the rest of us, we oftentimes have to go on a great journey. I wish that my life had been, my coming to Christ had been more like the shepherds. I believe that the Lord called my name for a long time, and praise his holy name, that he is a long-suffering and a patient God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think it's possible that I could have come shortly and quickly like the shepherds did, but I didn't. I'm thankful that the Lord was willing to stay with me on this journey and to lead me on that journey that would ultimately bring me to him. We oftentimes go on this great journey, and just like the wise man, it begins with a little light. And it ends with light to help finish the journey for us. But in the middle, dear friends, we have to trust the scriptures. We walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith requires not only walking, but it requires faith. We have to believe. Friend, if you're going to come to Christ, if you're going to have an eternal residence there in glory with all of the saved of all the ages, it'll be because you come by faith through his grace. Amen? We have to believe and we have to trust the scriptures. I don't know who wrote this, but I come across this poem, and it says, "For feelings come and feelings go." Don't trust your feelings. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. Forever and ever. Friends, don't put your faith in something that's perishing, that's falling away. You put your faith in the one who lives and reigns forever. Amen. His word is forever settled in heaven. A couple of scriptures I'll share with you before we close here. Psalm 19 in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Friend, if you want to be wise today, you need to put your hope and trust in his word and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of the Lord, his word is perfect, converting the soul. And then also Jeremiah 29:13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all of your heart. When you shall search for me with all of your heart. What about you, friend? You know, when I think about the Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just kind of halfway do it when he went to the cross. I'm glad that he didn't stop part of the way. I'm glad that he gave everything. He gave his life on that cross for you and me. Jesus didn't just kind of do it. Friend, let me ask you here this morning, are you searching with all of your heart, or are you just kind of doing it today? Are you just thinking that religion is a nice thing? Friend, you don't need a religion. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not a half-hearted one. You need to seek after him with all of your heart. You know what Jesus wants? Jesus wants you. The gold and the frankincense and myrrh were all wonderful, and they were all symbolic of who Christ would be. What Jesus wants from you is you. He wants your heart. He wants your faith. He wants your trust in him. And friends, he wants all of it. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you bowed not just your knee before him, but have you bowed your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed your sins? As a discussion we had in Sunday school this morning, not to me or some other man, but to the Messiah, to Christ, to the Savior. Have you asked him for forgiveness of your sins and trusted him with these things? When you came to him with your treasures to give to heaven's King, did you leave with heaven's treasure and declare him as your King? That's the encouragement that I give you today. And now that he has come and he has brought us to this place where the Savior is, whether it be by star or by scripture, we know oftentimes both, let us leave differently. Let us go differently than we came. Let us go rejoicingly as these men did. And let us go and be disciples and make disciples for our great and true King. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me here this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, I know that that we look to these men. These were wise men that were educated. They were determined and diligent in the things that they did. But Lord, none of those things were what brought them to you. They were parts and pieces, Lord, that you used along the way. But Father, what led them to you was faith and trust in your word. And Lord, there's so much that I don't know. Lord, there's still so much that I don't know even about your word. But I have, Lord, made a choice in my life that I believe your word. Even the things that I don't understand, I believe them. I ask you, Lord, for understanding. I ask you, Lord, that you would help us along the way, that we might know you better, that we might know ourselves better, that we might trust and believe in you and be able to live a life empowered by your Spirit that pleases you. But Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. Why should it not be forever settled in our hearts? I know that faith is a gift that you give. And I pray today, Lord, that you would give us the gift of faith. As we're here this morning, Lord, if we're already in a place where we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then first of all, let us say amen. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the gift of belief. Lord, would you help us to believe even more? Would you reveal more truth and more light to us that we can believe in you and trust you and follow you even more? May we be like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Give us more and more faith, Lord. If there be one here today that's been exploring faith, that's been thinking about faith, can I really believe in this Christ? Is this really true? Can I trust my heart and my life to him? Lord, would you give that person would you give them faith? Would you give them the gift to believe in you? And Lord, would you continue to lead them on their journey? And I pray, Father, that they would understand that that journey has to come through the Scripture. This is why we are always, always, always in the Word of God here in this place. Nobody is saved by preaching. Nobody is saved by teaching. They are saved by faith in you. Now, you use those things in that process. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Lord, our faith has to be grounded in you and in your perfect and holy word. Lord, would you lead that person to you here today? Help them even today to say, you know what? Today's the day. I'm not waiting another minute. I'm not waiting another moment. I'm putting my full faith and trust in the Lord. I ask him for forgiveness of my sins, and I'm trusting him for that forgiveness. And then, Lord, I pray also for those that may not have any faith. Maybe this has been a new thing, or maybe they have little faith, Lord. And Lord, you we've seen in the scriptures how you bless those that if we can just begin with a little bit of faith, and even that we know comes from you, Lord, that you can take little things. You are God of multiplication. and you can make it great. And I pray that you do that today, Lord. My desire, just as yours is for the salvation of every heart and soul in our presence today. I also recognize, Lord, that I can't do any of that. So I trust you to do the work that you do through the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you that you loved us enough to come for us, to give your life for us, to die on the cross for us, Lord. And you've ascended to heaven as proof that you really are God. And you are there interceding and praying for us right now. What a wonderful thing. Lord, lead us. Lead us by star. Lead us by scripture. Lord, lead us by faith. Make us wise. Make us yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and worship, please? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Amen. Good tidings of great joy. Merry Christmas to all of you, all of your families. If you're able tonight, we're going to gather here at 6 o'clock and we'll have our candlelight service. We have battery candles for the little ones. So we don't have to worry about John burning himself if we give him one of the other candles. So, Lord bless all of you. We love you. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. I'm going to ask Brother Floyd if he would close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be with us as we travel home from this place, Lord, to remember what we've heard today, Father, and take it into our hearts, Father. Your word comes before salvation. Our salvation is drawn through your word, through Jesus Christ, who is born this season, Father, and is worthy of our worship and praise, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will take us home in safety, Bring us again this evening, all those that are able to come, Father, to have an evening worship candlelight service. Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.